Good afternoon, everybody. I'm just going to be conscious of everybody's time today. It's just a couple of minutes after one, and I will just get things started. My name is Diane Kossman, and I'd like to welcome you to the ISO information session on the Transmission Must Run, or TMR for short, Service Procurement Competition for the Grand Prairie Planning Area. At this point, I'd like to review our notice regarding the recording of the session and the collection of personal information. The ISO's collection of information will be used for the purpose of capturing stakeholder input and engagement for the TMR procurement competition. This information is collected in accordance with Section 33C of the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. If you have any questions or concerns, you can contact the ISO's Director, Information and Government Services by email at privacy, at ISO.ca. Now, I'll briefly review and provide some guidance on Zoom, the webinar tool we're using for today's information session. All attendees have joined us in listen-only mode, and your cameras and microphones are disabled. As the ISO's objective is to document questions as accurately as possible, we are asking webinar participants to please submit questions in writing only using the Zoom functionality. You're invited to submit questions at any time during the presentation using the in-meeting Q&A function. However, questions will be addressed at the end of the presentation during our question and answer period. When you submit your question, it will be submitted anonymously. Here's how to ask questions using Zoom. If you're joining us by computer, simply hover your cursor over the bottom area of the Zoom application and the controls will appear. Click on the Q&A icon and you can then use the in-meeting window to type and submit your question. If you're joining us by smartphone, again, tap the Q&A icon and type in your question. I will now pass the discussion over to Stephen Dickinson, who will introduce the presenters and key people from the ISO.
Thank you, Diane. So before proceeding, as Diane had indicated, I'd like to take the opportunity to provide some quick introductions of who from the ISO is participating in this information session. My name is Stephen Dickinson, Manager of Procurement. I lead the team responsible for designing and implementing the competitive procurement process. Joining me as a presenter is Dan McEwen, Senior Analyst in our procurement team. Also joining us today are Ryan Ferguson, our Commercial Director, Jason Buckles, Real-Time Manager, Transmission, Ramiro DeCourt, Lead Engineer Operations Coordination, and John Olson, our Senior Project Manager, Procurement. Okay, so that concludes our housekeeping items for today. So we wanted to next provide an overview of this information session. The purpose of this information session is to provide an overview of TMR, to share information regarding the TMR procurement competition, including its objectives, structure, and timelines, and to provide further details on how to participate in this procurement. Please note that a draft agreement has been included as part of the Request for Expressions of Interest document, or REOI document for short, which details the commercial and technical requirements when providing TMR. The scope of this information session includes clarification regarding the key commercial terms and technical requirements for a service provider to provide TMR in the Grand Prairie Planning Region, or what is specifically referred to as the Grand Prairie Loop. Note that we are not seeking feedback during this information session, but rather we will answer clarification questions. Feedback on the competition or the TMR agreement can be provided in the expression of interest form that is part of the REOI. Also note that we're not able to address questions specific to the ISO rules or other authoritative documents during this session, and such questions should be addressed by the rule owners or the subject matter experts. This is the agenda for today. We have already covered introductions, housekeeping items, Zoom instructions, and the information session overview. So next, we will start with an overview of the ISO and ancillary services we procure, then provide information on the objectives of this procurement and the key dates. We will then provide an overview of TMR and then get into some further detail regarding this TMR procurement competition. We will provide an overview of some of the key commercial and technical terms. We'll outline next steps and some considerations for the request for proposal stage. And then finally, we will close the session with the question and answer period. First, for any of you who may be less familiar, we'd like to share some high-level information about the ISO. The ISO is an independent, not-for-profit, statutory corporation that was created under the Electric Utilities Act to operate in the best interest of all Albertans. The ISO provides the function of the independent system operator and is tasked with providing the safe, reliable, and economic operation of the Alberta Interconnected Electric System. There are four core functions of the ISO, and I'll just quickly summarize these. One is to provide customer access to the transmission system. Two is to plan the transmission system. Three is to operate the grid. And the fourth is to plan and operate a fair, efficient, open, and competitive market, including managing ancillary services and the renewable electricity program. Ancillary services are essential to the reliable operation of the Alberta market and are required to ensure that electricity can be transmitted reliably, efficiently, and securely across the Alberta Electric Interconnected System. In addition to TMR, the ISO procures other ancillary services, including fast frequency response, or FFR, which includes load shed services for imports, and currently a fast frequency response pilot to test new technologies such as energy storage. The ISO also procures black start services. In addition, a separate team within the ISO is responsible for procuring operating reserves necessary to maintain system reliability where there is an unexpected imbalance between supply and demand of power due to various system conditions and contingencies. This slide highlights the ISO's objectives for this TMR procurement, and I'll just highlight a few of them. The first objective is to maximize competition to determine the cost of the service. We look to conduct a fair and transparent competition, which is overseen by a fairness advisor. To the extent possible, we minimize barriers to participation in the procurement. We are seeking to procure an optimal volume of TMR that balances the foreseeable need for TMR and the cost to the rate base. And finally, given the potential for changes to the foreseeable need for TMR, we are looking to maintain flexibility with respect to the term of the agreement. At this point, I'd like to highlight key dates associated with the TMR competition. So the REOI opened a week ago on Monday, so March the 7th. The REOI information session is being held today, obviously March 14th. The questions with respect to the REOI should be sent to the ISO by 3:30, that's Mountain Time, on Thursday, March the 17th, which is the deadline for questions. The REOI response, which is essentially the fillable expression of interest form, which is included as part of the REOI document, should be submitted by March 21st for those parties that meet the eligibility criteria and are interested in participating in the RFP stage of the procurement. So again, please note the REOI response date is 1 week from today. Assuming that the REOI is contestable, and Dan will speak about this later in this information session, we will open the RFP stage on April the 4th. The RFP stage will remain open for approximately 6 weeks and is scheduled to close on May 16th. We will be looking to select a successful proponent or proponents in late Q2 of this year. And finally, the service term is scheduled to begin on July 1st of this year. Please note, as mentioned previously, the REOI includes the draft agreement. So I would encourage interested parties to review the draft agreement early and prior to the RFP opening so you're ready to provide feedback during the RFP stage. Now, with that, I will pass it over to our senior analyst, Dan McEwen, to to provide us with an overview of TMR.
Great. Thanks a lot, Stephen. So yeah, as Stephen mentioned, I'll provide an overview of the request for expressions of interest stage of the procurement. So hopefully most of you listening today have accessed the request for expressions of interest document from our TMR webpage. This slide particularly shows a snapshot of the front cover. Now for some further detail regarding the first stage of the competition, being the request for expressions of interest, also referred to as the REOI. This REOI is non-binding, and it is not a prerequisite for participating in the request for proposals stage, also referred to as the RFP stage. However, participation in the REOI stage is strongly encouraged if you're interested in proceeding to the next stage of the TMR competition. Failure to submit an EOI during the REOI stage may result in the ISO procuring directly to a bilateral, or the ISO proceeding directly to a bilateral negotiation instead of commencing an RFP stage. If the REOI is determined not to be contestable, preference to participate in a bilateral negotiation may be given to those who express interest during the REOI. The ISO is requesting parties to express interest and to provide feedback and facility information. As you'll see in the REOI document, the ISO is providing information regarding the TMR procurement competition stages and key dates, the TMR eligibility criteria and requirements, and later in the presentation, Stephen, he'll spend a few minutes walking us through the eligibility criteria and requirements. And lastly, a draft form of agreement. So the ISO is intending parties to express interest in the competition and to provide information on prospective facilities and to provide feedback generally on the competition using the EOI form. So Stephen mentioned previously the REOI response deadline is March 21st at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. There's further detail in the REOI document, which again is available on our website as a fillable version at the link shown on the slide. Submission is to tmr@iso.ca via email, and further instructions are contained within the REOI document. So here's a screenshot showing a portion of the first page of the fillable EOI form that is currently available on our website. So you get a sense of what it looks like. So I'll just give everybody a couple of seconds to look at this before I advance to the next slide. So TMR is generation that is required to be online in a specific location in parts of the Alberta interconnected electric system and operating at a specific level to compensate for insufficient local transmission relative to local demand. Given the location-specific nature of TMR, only certain generating facilities in Alberta may be required to provide TMR. In circumstances when this service is required for an unforeseeable event, and there is no contracted TMR, non-contracted generators may be dispatched to provide this service, referred to as conscripted TMR. In the event of foreseeable TMR, the ISO may enter into a contract with a generator to provide TMR. Please note, there are currently no TMR agreements in effect for this area for the identified need. The most recent technical study has identified a foreseeable need for TMR in the area. The shortfall in local generation relative to demand has been managed through conscription. If need for TMR is foreseeable as defined in Section 8.4, Subsection 2 of the tariff, then the tariff requires the ISO to procure TMR services in accordance with Appendix B of the tariff. Foreseeable TMR is defined as transmission must run services are foreseeable if the ISO, taking into account reasonable procurement timing requirements, determines transmission must run services are required to meet ISO transmission reliability criteria which includes consideration of expected operating conditions and transmission planned outages. Unforeseeable TMR is defined as transmission must run services are unforeseeable. Transmission must run services if they do not constitute foreseeable transmission must run services. So the tariff establishes the procurement process for contracting TMR when there is a foreseeable need. The tariff requires that the ISO issues an ROI to determine contestability. If the ISO, following consultation with the Market Surveillance Administrator, also referred to as the MSA, determines that the ROI is contestable, an RFP shall be issued. During the RFP stage, one or more proponent proposals that meet the eligibility criteria will be selected based on the lowest fixed price bid or bids through a fair and transparent evaluation process. The evaluation criteria will be provided during the RFP stage. The selected proponent or proponents will enter into a final TMR agreement with the ISO. If either the ROI or the RFP stages are deemed by the ISO, following consultation with the MSA, not to be contestable, the ISO may pursue bilateral negotiations and binding arbitration if required. So taking our attention to the chevrons towards the bottom of the page, the ROI launched on March 7th. The RFP or bilateral negotiations is anticipated to open on April 4th. And the service term commences on July 1st, 2022. And this applies only if there is an RFP. So stemming from Appendix B of the tariff, this diagram outlines the TMR procurement process if there is a foreseeable need. I touched on this in the previous slide. For more information, please see Appendix B of the tariff. I'll now pass it over to Stephen to provide us with an overview of TMR eligibility criteria and the operating capability key terms.
Thanks, Dan. So before getting further into the commercial terms and the technical requirements, I would like to first review the eligibility criteria. So the eligibility criteria are those requirements that an interested party's facility must be able to meet in order to provide TMR as part of this competition. So the first requirement is that the facility must be a single source asset. So if you're unfamiliar with the term source asset, please refer to the ISO glossary on the ISO's website, and a link to the ISO glossary is provided in the ROI document. As Dan had previously mentioned, TMR is a locationally based service to address insufficient transmission infrastructure relative to local load. Therefore, to address the specific need which has resulted in this procurement, the facility must be connected to the Alberta Interconnected Electric System by one of seven substations located in what is referred to as the Grand Prairie Loop. The seven substations are listed on this slide. And the picture on this slide also highlights what is referred to as the Grand Prairie Loop. Other requirements that the service provider's TMR facility must meet to be eligible to participate in this procurement are: the facility must be capable of ramping in accordance with the ISO rules. The facility must be able to maintain a minimum of 35 megawatts of real power, except under a few specific circumstances. Those specific circumstances are during a period when there is a permitted unavailability, which is defined in the ROI, and it generally means an approved outage or a forced outage. During a period when a D rate is in effect for the facility, again, as defined in the ROI, or during a period when a force majeure event is in effect, again, also defined in the ROI. The next requirement is the facility must be able to maintain the real power at the dispatch volume for the entire duration of the TMR dispatch and subject to the allowable dispatch variance. The allowable dispatch variance is defined in the ROI and is the dispatched volume less 5 megawatts. So for example, if the ISO dispatches 35 megawatts of TMR, the service provider would need to generate at least 30 megawatts for the entire duration of the dispatch. And please note that historically, the duration of a TMR dispatch has lasted for several consecutive days or even several consecutive weeks. And then finally, given the foreseeable need for TMR, the facility must be able to provide the service by July 1st of this year, so approximately about 3.5 months from today. Okay, so next I'd like to take this opportunity to highlight a few key terms within the draft agreement. The first term is the minimum continuous operating capability, which, as the name would suggest, is the minimum megawatt level that a facility can continuously generate at during a TMR dispatch. This megawatt value is expected to be unique to each facility. The ISO is requesting that each respondent provide insight into this minimum megawatt value during the REOI and then to reconfirm it during the RFP stage. This minimum continuous operating capability is expected to be fixed for the term of the agreement. The maximum continuous operating capability is, as the name would suggest, the maximum generation that a facility can maintain continuously during a TMR dispatch. I would like to emphasize that the maximum generation during a TMR dispatch is when it's under contract. So therefore, for purposes of this agreement, the maximum continuous operating capability would be equivalent to the contract volume. And just like the minimum continuous operating capability, the ISO was looking for each respondent to provide insight into their proposed contract volume during the REOI and then to reconfirm it during the RFP stage. The maximum continuous operating capability and the contract volume are expected to be fixed for the term of the agreement. The third term that I wanted to introduce is the continuous operating capability range, which is simply the range between the minimum and the maximum continuous operating capability. So essentially, the ISO can dispatch TMR under this contract for a megawatt value anywhere within the continuous operating capability range. So for clarification, under this contract, the ISO cannot dispatch a volume greater than the contract volume. Any TMR volume required by the ISO that is greater than the contract volume would fall under conscriptive TMR and would be compensated for in accordance with the terms of the ISO tariff and not under this contract. So with that, I'll pass it on to Dan to provide us with an overview of the procurement volume, the price cap, and the payment mechanism.
Thanks, Stephen. So the ISO is required to utilize competitive processes to the extent possible and practical. The process should be designed to maximum available alternatives and competition while acting as a rational buyer. The ISO is targeting a procurement target volume range, which is between 35 and up to 45 megawatts of TMR service. This is really not intended to address all constraints under every scenario, and conscription TMR may still be required on a limited basis. The fixed price cap is the maximum price to be paid for TMR service. This price cap will be determined using the conscription methodology outlined in the tariff. The price cap will be prorated based on a ratio of contract volume to maximum generating capability. During the RFP stage, proponents shall propose a contract volume within the target procurement volume range. So again, that's between the 35 and 45 megawatt range, and bid a fixed price, so $1 per megawatt per month, between $0 and that price cap. And please note, any fixed price bid greater than the price cap will be deemed to be equivalent to the price cap. So moving on to the methodology for calculating the price cap. So a respondent will be able to determine the fixed price cap applicable to their TMR facility during the RFP stage based on the fixed costs by applying the following methodology. Step one, this is the average monthly fixed costs. They're equal to 1/12 of the sum of the annual average fixed costs as generally described in the tariff and as set out in the forthcoming RFP. Step two is the average monthly fixed costs are then multiplied by 50% to align with the minimum must run ratio of 50% as defined in the tariff for constricted TMR. Step three, fixed costs are then multiplied by the proposed contract volume as a ratio of the proposed contract volume to the maximum generating capability of the TMR facility. And lastly, step four, the fixed costs calculated in step three above are then divided by the proposed contract volume to represent the fixed price cap on a dollar per megawatt basis. Something that I'd like to note is that each proponent during the RFP stage shall bid a fixed price between $0 and up to that fixed price cap. And again, if a proponent bids a fixed price bid that exceeds that price cap, the fixed price bid shall then be deemed to be that fixed price cap. So moving on to the payment mechanism, there are two payment streams that are to be paid monthly. So that purchase price you see up in that second bullet there, the purchase price equals the availability payment plus the variable cost payment. The monthly availability payment is simply the fixed price that was bid, so dollars per megawatt, and then converted into capacity payments, so on a monthly basis. And then that is then adjusted down based on availability. For any hours when the facility is not available to be dispatched to the contract volume, the availability payment is then adjusted down. So really a reduction in the availability would occur if any of the following occurs. So planned outages, unplanned outages, derates, or force majeure events. Moving on to the second payment stream, which is the variable cost payment, is really based around this whole keep whole provision or principle and includes fuel costs, transmission losses, variable operations and maintenance costs, carbon and emission charges, so CO2 equivalent, which are based on tier, and lastly, the trading charges. Please note that variable payments are only paid when the energy price, so in other words, when service providers' cost to generate exceeds pool price. Please note that generation that exceeds the dispatch volume by more than 5 megawatts is not entitled to a variable cost payment, but instead would be compensated based on pool price only. So with that, I'll pass it over to Stephen to provide us an overview of the commercial terms, next steps, and then we'll close with any questions and answers.
Thanks, Dan. The term of the agreement is 2 years with 2 6-month extensions. The extensions are available to the ISO in the ISO's sole discretion and supports the procurement principle of maintaining flexibility of the term due to potential changes to foreseeable need for the TMR in the Grand Prairie Loop. As mentioned previously, the term is scheduled to begin on July 1st of this year. At this point, I'd like to highlight a few things with respect to scheduled outages. So scheduled outages must be reported to the ISO in accordance with ISO Rule 306.5. That's the Generation Outage Reporting and Coordination Rule. The draft agreement includes a couple of provisions on scheduled outages. So although a service provider must comply with the ISO rules, inclusion of such provisions regarding scheduled outages in the agreement provide flexibility to the ISO when coordinating scheduled outages for purposes of maintaining grid reliability. So the first provision to highlight in the agreement is that the ISO must approve a planned outage if a change is requested by the service provider within 3 months of the outage. So ISO Rule 306.5 already allows the ISO to reject a change to a planned outage within 3 months under specific conditions and following a very prescribed process. The second provision to highlight is that the ISO can request that a scheduled outage be rescheduled to the extent that system reliability is materially affected. The service provider would be required to comply with this requested change unless it poses certain risks. And those risks would be such things as risk to equipment, to people, environment, or would result in a breach of applicable law, which would include being offside with an operating permit. If the service provider reschedules the outage, the ISO would keep the service provider whole for the direct and incremental costs. Now, these rights are already materially exist under ISO 306.5. And I'd like to point out that a request to change a scheduled outage is a very rare occurrence. In fact, feedback from our operations team is that a request by the ISO to change a scheduled outage has not occurred in recent years. Okay, so a little bit now on a failure to supply. So for any service provider whose facility can meet the eligibility criteria, there are three critical operational requirements that, if not met, would constitute a failure to supply. So I'd like to highlight what they are and what may occur if there is a failure to supply. So let's start first with what are the three failures to supply in the draft agreement. So the first is if a service provider does not acknowledge the dispatch within 10 minutes or does not comply with the dispatch. The second is if a service provider does not begin ramping their facility in accordance with the ISO rules, or they do not achieve the dispatch volume within 30 minutes or less if required by the ISO rules. So I'd like to point out that the timing to achieve the dispatch volume is measured from the effective time of the dispatch, and this will be updated and clarified within the draft agreement. The third failure to supply is if a service provider does not maintain the dispatch volume within the allowable dispatch variance for the entire duration of the dispatch. So the allowable dispatch variance is the dispatch volume less 5 megawatts. So again, to use the same example as I used previously in this presentation, if the ISO dispatches TMR for 35 megawatts, the service provider would need to maintain generation at 30 megawatts or more for the entire duration of the dispatch. And exceptions to when the service provider would not be assessed a failure to supply for failing to maintain generation at that dispatched volume would include, I've got four items here, so I'll just capture these. Periods of time when a forced outage is in effect. Periods of time when there is an approved outage in effect. Periods of time when there is a D-rate in effect and to the extent that it impacts generation. And finally, periods of time when a force majeure event is in effect. So please refer to the draft agreement for details on these requirements, including the defined terms within the agreement. If a failure to supply occurs, the ISO has the right to conscript another unit and to deduct the incremental cost to conscript from the contracted service provider's monthly payment. The draft agreement also includes the ability for the ISO to request a recovery plan from the service provider to address a service deficiency. Now, a recovery plan is simply a plan by the service provider to remedy the service deficiency. Okay, so as discussed at the beginning of today's session, we'll be posting this presentation and the audio file on our website. The link to access the presentation and the audio file is noted on this slide. If you have any questions from now until the RFP posting, or you're submitting a expression of interest form, please use the TMR at ISO.ca mailbox. The expression of interest form should be submitted by March 21st, which again is 1 week from today. Now, a little bit on the request for proposal stage. So the request for proposal stage of the competition is anticipated to launch on April the 4th with proposals due May 16th. The request for proposal stage will be hosted on a procurement site called Bonfire. After the REOI stage is closed, proponents will be able to register for Bonfire. The ISO will post the access agreement and provide further instructions on our TMR procurement webpage regarding how to access that Bonfire site. And note that once access to Bonfire has been obtained, the Bonfire site can be accessed using a web browser. Now, interested parties that wish to participate in the RFP stage will need to access the RFP documents and participate in the RFP through the Bonfire site. And note that once the RFP stage has opened, which again is scheduled to occur on April the 4th, all communications with the ISO, including all inquiries, will be through that Bonfire site. And further information and instructions regarding the communication protocol during the RFP stage will be included in the RFP document. Okay, and now lastly, and looking ahead, there are a few considerations for those that are interested in participating in the RFP stage. So I'll just touch on these briefly. So these considerations include, number one, just adhering to timelines as described in the RFP documents, signing forms where requested by the appropriate company officials. Really note the details, especially as it relates to instances of must or may in the RFP documents, and complete and submit information forms in the manner instructed. And I think as a general rule, I'd like to reemphasize, if in doubt, please seek any required clarification from the ISO. We want this competition to be successful, and we appreciate your diligence in this regard and for adhering to the communications protocols as outlined. We look forward to your participation, and again, thank you for your interest in this TMR procurement. Okay, so now we're moving into the question and answer period of this session. There are a few questions that we received prior to this information session, which we will address first. You can submit additional questions using the Zoom controls. Again, please note we are not seeking feedback on the agreement or the procurement process at this time, nor will we address questions specific to the ISO rules or other authoritative documents during this session. Questions that we will answer today will be focused on clarification regarding the TMR procurement competition. And those would include such things as the structure of the competition, the timelines associated with the competition, details on how to participate, and clarification on the commercial and the technical requirements when providing TMR under the agreement. We'll take as many questions as we can during this session, time permitting. And note that answers to all questions, including those that we cannot get to today, will be posted on the ISO's TMR procurement webpage within a couple of days. And the answers posted on our website will be the official response to the questions. And lastly, as a reminder, a copy of this presentation and the audio file will be posted on our website tomorrow. I will now ask Diane to read the first question.
Thanks, Stephen. The first question is, will the ISO include a procedure for system controllers to provide an advanced notification when there is the expectation for a TMR dispatch? Jason?
Thanks, Dan. The ISO does not anticipate providing an advanced notification for TMR dispatch. However, the ISO may send out two types of energy dispatches, a real-time dispatch and a next-hour dispatch. In both cases, there is an effective time for each dispatch, which is either at the top of the next minute or the top of the next hour. A revised draft agreement is expected to require ramping to begin upon the ISO's effective time of a valid dispatch instruction, and to have achieved the dispatch volume within 30 minutes or required by ISO rules.
Thank you, Jason.
Yep.
The next question is, how often does the ISO expect to request a service provider to reschedule a planned outage, and why is this necessary? Ramiro, if you can take this, please.
Sure. Thanks, Dan. So to date, a request from the ISO to defer a generator plant outage in accordance to the ISO rules has been a very rare circumstance, and in fact has not occurred in recent years. So such a request would be limited to the extent required to mitigate system reliability risks, and the service provider be required to comply unless it poses specific risks, such as equipment, people, the environment, or if it would result in a breach of applicable law.
Mr. Miro, the next question is, why must the generating unit be connected to one of the seven substations located in the Grand Prairie planning area, which is Area 20? And Ramiro, if you could take this as well, please.
And thanks, Dan. Based on the technical studies that were conducted, the ISO determined that the generating units or unit must be connected to one of the seven specified substations located in the Grand Prairie planning area to satisfy the need for the foreseeable TMR service in the Grand Prairie planning area.
Thank you. What happens in the event that the ISO requires TMR service in excess of the contract volume? Dan, if you could take that, please.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Diane. Yeah, so the ISO can direct additional TMR service above the contracted volume. So in other words, unforeseeable TMR service. The service provider will be compensated as per Section 8 of the ISO tariff.
Thanks, Dan. Next question is, why is the procurement target volume a range? Stephen?
Thanks, Diane. Yeah, the ISO is targeting to procure between 35 megawatts and up to 45 megawatts of TMR service based on a variety of factors that were included in the technical studies. So when establishing the procurement target volume range, consideration was given to the foreseeable need for TMR in the region and our procurement principles, which include minimizing barriers to participation. So it encouraged people to see the ROI and the RFP competition documents once available for further detail.
Thanks, Stephen. The next question is, please provide examples for what could trigger the ISO to exercise the six-month extensions. Ramiro, please take this.
Yes, thanks, Dan. If the technical studies evidence that a foreseeable need for TMR services continues past the initial 2 years, then the ISO will exercise its option to extend the TMR service term.
Thank you. I'm not sure if this question was potentially answered previously, Ramiro, but I'll just read it out. Could you confirm whether the TMR generation needs to be connected only to one of the substations of the GP loop, or could it be connected to a substation outside the GP loop in the Northwest region?
Yeah, this is... I guess I can clarify again that, based on the technical studies that were done, the generator or generators need to be connected to one of those seven substations that were identified to be able to provide the required TMR service for the foreseeable need.
Thank you. And Stephen, these are the only questions that we have received at this time.
Okay, should we maybe just give it a minute or so and see if there's any final questions that come in?
Yes, we did just get one in advance. I'll read it out and then perhaps if one of you could decide who would like to take it. Yes, when would the ISO notify market participants that an extension is required?
I can probably take that one. I'm going to go off of memory on this one a little bit. I believe the agreement speaks to within 10 days, and I believe it was 10 business days.
Thanks, Stephen. We'll just give it a couple of minutes to see if anybody else has any questions they would like to submit. Obviously, a very substantive presentation. It's seemed to answer most of the questions and the content that you presented.
Okay, just confirming, Diane, there's no other questions that have come in?
There are no other questions.
Okay. All right, so maybe at this time, I'd like to once again thank everybody for your interest in the TMR procurement and for participating in today's information session. Please look for the written responses to all questions and answers on our website. For any additional questions related to the RUI, again, just a reminder, please do direct those to tmr@iso.ca by 3:30, and that's Mountain Time on Thursday, March 17th. And finally, I'd like to ask participants to please complete a short three-question, it's a yes or no response poll, which should probably take less than 1 minute to complete here. And maybe, Diane, if I can have you launch that survey now. It looks like it has launched. And at this time, again, just like to thank everybody for your participation.
Thank you very much to everybody who responded to the poll. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good afternoon.
Good afternoon.